From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome, Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. Today we're going to be talking about Chrystia Freeland's announcement that she's going to be she's running for lead the Liberals, and we think it's important to now take the opportunity to put some questions that all the time she's been in office she's never answered, with primary question being, Why is she dishonest about her personal history, history of her family? And by the way, all of her work in Ukraine. I know she says she's from Peace River, but she spent more time in Kiev and also in Davos and New York, but particularly Kiev. We're going to be talking to Robin Philpott, who has written a review in... I'll get the name of the publication in a moment, but he's reviewing the Peter MacFarlane book, Family Ties, which is published by Lorimer and has received, because of its subject matter, it's a wonderful bit of scholarship, but because of the fact that he's raising questions that the Liberal Party would rather not have heard, and it turns out the NDP Liberals also agree not to talk about these things, we're going to talk about these things. So he'll be telling us about that, and that will be at probably about half past the hour. And we're also, in a few minutes, going to talk to Tony Leah about Labour's reaction to the threat from Donald Trump. I call it a threat. That is his promise or heavy hint that he could somehow annex Canada, if you wished. I notice everybody's talking as though this is only about the tariffs. But frankly, when he puts something as ugly as annexation on the table, you better address it. The so far from the political parties in Canada, it hasn't been overwhelmingly strong or clear. There's a lot of incoherence. Doug Ford uses the expression, Canada is not for sale. We pointed out that when Trump says annex, he isn't offering to buy anything. He's offering to take it over. And he doesn't intend to actually spend a cent. So if they're going to go with Doug Ford's slogan, and I notice, by the way, Chrystia Freeland is going with Doug Ford's slogan. She apparently is going to run for the Liberal leadership as Doug Ford. So she uses the exact same expression. Of course, she also tossed aside the environmental issues having to do with the footprint of Canada in terms of releasing carbon and all this. This was a Liberal Party. This was one they thought they were going to actually win on a few years back, and everybody said, oh, yes, we're going to do it. Now everybody says, oh, yes, we're not going to do it. So the Liberals are tailing the Conservatives, and she's actually now, in this case, adopting Ford's language and Polio's language. This is kind of trying to win by losing, I guess would be the name for that. Again, this is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM, on the question of what kind of leadership we need. I would say we have a North American partner. We pointed out on the show before, Mexico, with their president, Sheinbaum, which, by the way, she's even more popular than AMLO, he had the nickname AMLO, very popular socialist leader in Mexico. the popularity of their party has grown in the years that of his presidency. They have become very popular because they're doing what the people want. And she has given a speech. I think we ask all Canadian politicians to measure themselves against her position, because she said very clearly a couple of days ago in a speech, she says, we want it to be known that Mexico rejects neoliberalism. This is the, privatize and let the entrepreneurs loose and reduce spending on the needs of the people, which is what neoliberalism has stood for. She said, we reject that, and we're never going back to it. And she says, our government is here to serve the people, particularly the poor. I haven't actually heard that from Jagmeet Singh, who would be somehow distantly associated with social democracy. Also remember, Mexico, a North American country, is not a member of NATO. Nobody tells them to give 2% of their national budget to buy arms from the United States. But here we are in a posture. We're saying to Donald Trump, oh, don't take us over. Please don't take us over. And meanwhile, yes, we will toe the line and spend all the money that you're asking us to spend. And we will go and protect that border. And yes, we'll pay for it, just the way you said that Mexico would have to pay for their border. Mexico has taken a different road. They are a North American country, and they are our trade partner. And we have to break with the concept of selling them down the river. What we ought to do is follow them. They are a very broad-based, popular government, and they created a republic. And that's one other issue that we want to underline for listeners, is that when the United States embarked on openly in the name of becoming an empire at the turn of the 19th to the 20th centuries, Mark Twain, whose name you will know, and William James, another celebrated individual, and others formed an anti-imperialist league. And the foundation argument was simple. They said, if you're a republic, which means a self-governing state, where the authority resides with the people, you can't be an empire, because if that concept is that you're self-governing, you cannot impose your will on other people. Let them be self-governing, because that's your concept. That's the concept of what a republic should be. Twain and others argued, you are turning yourself inside out. You're making a lie out of the notion of the people, by the people, for the people, and you cannot export it. It's by definition. A couple of details about that. And we're going to be talking to Tony Leah, by the way, in a few moments, but in about 5 minutes. The labor got involved. Samuel Gompers was probably one of the most charismatic, most interesting, one of the most interesting labor leaders in North American history. He was a member of the Anti-Imperialist League, along with Mark Twain. There was another individual. This is something blow your mind, as they say. Andrew Carnegie was a member of the Anti-Imperialist League. They both understood that the U.S. should not become an empire. They could do business with other people, trade with other people, but you don't impose. You can't. And I'll say it again. By definition, a republic cannot impose itself on another people, because to do so, they have to negate their own concept of themselves. I hope I'm not sounding like Hegel or something, but it just is the case. So I would say get out your school books and study the subject. There's some. I want to make sure I say something about the peace agreement. As the we've all called for a ceasefire here, and really I applaud all the wonderful people across Canada and of course around the world who have fought hard to bring an end to the attacks on the people of Gaza and West Bank and Syria and Lebanon, where Israel and the United States and France, by the way, don't forget France, have attacked, used their warplanes over the territory of sovereign people, and they do it with abandon and glee, I guess, in some respects. So at any rate, we have at the moment a ceasefire of sorts, and there's a prisoner exchange, and that is a very good thing, that people who being civilians being held under difficult circumstances in all sides, that they're returned, and it's good that there is a ceasing of the bombings. However, let's also keep in mind that the Palestinian people still do not have their status. They don't have the state. And the only quarter from which that will come, where you would get a workable agreement, would be through an international agreement involving all the parties. That this current ceasefire is was brought about by parties who are really interested in increasing their own power, and they have imperial goals. And we said it on this show before, that if you have a peace agreement worked out between where the guiding party is the United States and the associate parties are Egypt and Qatar, with Qatar playing a leading role, nothing good is going to come of that. It's going to end up in a sad situation. And while it's very good, we want an end to the bombing, the political question is still being held away from us, and it's being held by the United States. They have the absolute veto on what's going on. And when I say veto, the United Nations Security Council called for this a long time ago, and they called for appropriate negotiations so that the two peoples would end up in a peaceful and democratic resolution of the differences. But if you regard the U.S. as the essential and I forget the expression they like to use for themselves, but basically it says, without us, nothing happens. They played the Palestinian question for domestic purposes. On the day that, practically the day, in the last two or three days of Biden's existence in office, they held off until that moment to then work out we have a peace. They could have had that. They could have had that months ago. People are talking about the same information, same deal was on the table. But for domestic political reasons, the Americans played it. And frankly, it looks to me like what they call the good cop, bad cop routine, where Biden was pretending he's the good cop and Trump standing with a club behind his back saying, it's got to be this or nothing, you know, or I'll fix you. And so these are the people who have arranged whatever this is. And as to how long it will last, we'll see. But we have to keep coming back. This is not a matter that should be in the hands of an imperialist state, that is the U.S., to dictate, and they do dictate, what's going to happen in what we call the Levant. And I will repeat over and over, the French imperialists, the British imperialists, the American imperialists have decided that long since that they're never leaving. They're not going to go anywhere. And so you can't merely talk about Israel, because the empires that created Israel intend to dominate the Eastern Mediterranean forever. That's the goal. So the only body that can counter those imperialists is the United Nations, which was created by the Soviet Union and U.S. at the end of World War II. So please keep that in mind. If you want to see the Palestinian people liberated, they have to be liberated according to the terms of the world's people who are on their side but never get heard because the U.S. vetoes them. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT. We've got a little appropriate music, and we'll be back with Tony Leah.
This land is your land. This land is my land. From Buena Vista to the Vancouver Island, from the Arctic Circle to the Great Lake waters, this land was made for you and me.
As I went walking that ribbon of high